Welcome back to After Hours on this Labor Day weekend. Have a good day tomorrow if you're off, but remember what Labor Day is all about. It's about working people. My guest for this entire hour, because I don't know her, just met her, Anna Bessarud, is a cabaret singer in the city of Chicago. She is performing Saturday and Sunday. She has great, great credibility already, because I've heard her music, and she's performing with the one and only Becky Menzie Saturday and Sunday at Davenport's. That's your next gig, yes?
Yes.
Lovely to meet you.
Lovely to meet you.
When did music come in? This is great, because I literally know nothing. Usually when someone's on, I've been in, you know, drunken saloons listening to them for 20 years. When did music come into your life, Anna?
Oh, goodness. Well, probably when I was about 10. I auditioned for my very first musical theater production.
Where were you? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in a small town outside of Savannah, Georgia.
You've certainly lost that accent.
I have.
Along the way.
Yes.
Okay, that's something we've learned, everybody.
Yeah.
And why did you do that? Because you could sing? Because it appealed to you? Because you thought it was magical or mysterious? Or?
Well, a little bit of all that, but my stepdad saw a blurb in the paper and said, hey, there's an audition for Annie, and I loved the movie, like every little
like
girl.
Every little girl. You're right, every
so
little
I said,
girl.
Okay, so I didn't know what to sing. He said, okay, why don't we do When the Saints Go Marching In? That's what I sang.
So your dad was like a stage father, right?
My stepdad, yes.
Your stepdad,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
he was like a stage father. Did you get that part?
Well, I was one of three up for Annie, but I ended up getting one of the orphans, which I was completely ecstatic. I was, yeah, it was the best time of my life.
And so you're on stage and you hear that applause for something that you have done, never having done that. It must be, I'm not talking about a 10-year-old and a narcotic, but there must be something unbelievable about that that gets into your heart and soul. Is that
there
true?
There is. There's something so special about it. And every performer in one form or another, they understand that. And it's why we do it. I want to give my gift of singing to people. And I love to sing for the joy that it brings me, and I hope it brings my audience the same joy, if not more.
That's a great philosophy.
Yeah.
That's a great performer philosophy. So the Annie's over.
Yes.
And you're hooked.
I'm hooked. I got bit by the theater bug.
And how did you, what followed after that?
Well, I did a series of acting classes. I started taking voice lessons.
Oh, you really were hooked.
Piano lessons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your stepdad and mom were totally fine with
supportive.
This.
They would schlep me from one lesson to another, to school. Dance classes, everything.
And did you keep getting roles? I mean, how many roles are there for 11-year-olds?
Well, I mean, I remember I did The Mystery of Edwin Drood. I don't remember how old I was when I did that, but I was in the chorus, and I was the youngest person in the cast, and I was wearing a corset. I don't think I had anything to put in the corset, but that's okay.
Yeah, sure, that's okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. And this was almost, what kind of theater scene is there in Savannah, Georgia?
Well, the theater company, there is Savannah Theater and City Lights Theater. And I haven't been back there in years, but I see things on Facebook from my friends.
Sure.
And it looks like it's growing and it's wonderful and they're doing lots of creative things.
When did you leave Savannah?
I left when I was 17. My last year of high school, my voice teacher and her family lived in Hilton Head, and they decided to move and relocate to Greenville, South Carolina. So I wasn't sure. I had the opportunity to go to Interlochen or to continue studying with her. I chose...
That's a nice thing. That's a nice option to have for a young performer, Interlochen.
Yes.
Or, yeah.
Yes. I chose to move to Greenville and study with my teacher. I lived with her family. I went to the Fine Arts Center there in Greenville. And then from there, I began to audition for college, for schools. And I had my heart set on Carnegie Mellon. I did a summer program there.
Yeah.
And I loved the campus. I loved the instructors there. And then I auditioned for the Boston Conservatory, which they actually asked me, where's your Southern accent? I guess I didn't have one then either.
But... Did you not have one? I mean, were you one of those... creatures who never picked it up.
I can talk like that if I have to. And my mother, she lives here in Chicago now as well, and she has a Southern accent. And she's originally from Pittsburgh. So I don't know. I don't know where that comes in.
Who knows? So where'd you wind up going?
Boston Conservatory. Yeah.
You had your heart set then. I mean, that's a time when 17, 18 years old where you really are kind of making... You know, it's not a career choice, but it's close to it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You were pretty serious about wanting to have a life in the arts. Was it to have a life as a singer or a musical theater star or an actress?
I think at the time it was musical theater. That was my major. And I wanted to be on Broadway, like every other 17-year-old who was going after that dream.
You're too old for Annie at that point.
I know. How disappointing. Darn it. the conservatory was great. It was really intense. It was competitive. You have to have a thick skin to get through that.
No question. You've got to have a thick skin to be in the theater biz,
yes,
on any level.
In general.
On any level. How did you stack up? You know, it reminds me, the theater sort of youth always reminds me of sports, too, that people don't consider it as competitive as sports. You know, when the hotshot from high school goes to college and finds five guys who are equally good, it is as cutthroat, isn't it? And competitive.
It is. It's tough. And, there are moments where, when you're 17, you don't always know what's best for you. You think you do. And there's a part of me that just kind of wish I would have just picked up and moved to New York and tried it that way.
Did you think about it? Your mother and your stepfather?
Anything that I wanted to do,
really?
They would have supported.
They were that
supportive. If I said, I really don't think I want to be in a conservatory setting. I just want to kind of go for it.
Yeah.
They would have said okay.
Wow.
I mean,
were you studying at conservatory? I mean, it's a lot of voice
lessons, acting, dance classes, jazz, tap, ballet, music theory, movement. My senior year, I did two different, you could specialize. So I did a voice focus and also a movement focus. And, it was a lot. It was very physically and mentally exhausting.
This is fascinating to me. And are most, if not all, of your classmates, do they too have their eye on successful careers, or are any of them thinking of teaching? Or
I know there are some that are teaching. There are others. I have some classmates who are and have been on Broadway, so they are working in the business consistently.
Wow, that's fascinating, because it actually sounds much more competitive than college sports, because because many of these college athletes know the score, and they have to stop dreaming at some point if they're undersized. This is really, really interesting. Anna Besserud is my guest for this entire hour. We have gotten her up to college, and so we'll carry on. You will also hear her. I have three cuts of music that she sent me. You can also hear her next Saturday and Sunday night at Davenport's, playing with Becky Menzie. Becky's been on this show a number of times. You know my grand affection for Becky. And if you're playing with Becky, Becky doesn't play with people who can't sing. Why would she do such a thing? You can go to davenportspianobar.com or Anna Besserud. I'll spell it for you. AnnaBesserud.com. We will come back. You will hear her sing. You will hear about her two kids. You will hear about her husband. You will hear about her other job. And we will talk more about her musical career, because So get at the edge of your seats or the edge of your beds, because she's just about to graduate from college, and we don't know what she did after that. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You will hear Anna Besserud sing shortly, but I want to get her out of college. We've got her into college. She's about to graduate college. You're graduating with a degree in...
Musical theater.
Musical theater.
Yes.
What's your next move? You hug all your great friends and say, screw you, you're never going to make it, I'm going to make it. What do you do after you graduate?
Well, I moved back to Greenville, South Carolina to get married. So my husband...
Where'd you meet your husband?
We met through mutual friends in Greenville.
Okay.
So kind of throughout school, on and off, we were together, on again, off again. And so I moved back down there. We got married in Charleston. And then we moved to Hoboken, New Jersey.
Wow.
Right
Hoboken.
After...
Frank Sinatra's hometown.
Yes. Right after 9/11. So October, we were there. So it was a moment of, should we move?
Yeah.
Should we stay where we are? And I'm like, you know, if we don't do it now.
What did he do and why Hoboken?
Well, Hoboken is pretty close to Manhattan.
No question.
Easy commute.
Sure.
I love Hoboken. It's such a great little town. And you can get into Manhattan and get into the craziness.
Yeah.
And then get out of it.
Get out of there.
Yeah.
Sure. Did he have a job in Manhattan? Was he working?
No, he was still commuting back and forth to Greenville.
Wow.
When we first moved there. So that went on for a couple of years. And then I was auditioning and working.
So he too, like your stepfather and your mom, was very supportive of your ambition.
Yes. Yes.
So he said, okay, look, we can't maybe, I don't know what it is, maybe we can't afford to move in, who can?
Yeah.
In Manhattan. We'll move in Hoboken. You go ahead, mm-hmm. dear, and try to do your best, and I'll keep working in Greenville. What a good guy he sounds like. Yeah. How did it go?
It's
got to be tougher than
it was.
I could imagine.
Tough. You know, the cattle calls, the waking up early, getting in line, waiting for hours. And then you get in there for 16 bars of music.
Yeah.
And it happens so fast. It's like, wait, did I just do that? Did I just sing?
I just been here for 4 hours and I just sang for 32 seconds.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, thank you very much.
Wow.
Okay.
Did you get any nibbles?
Not too many. It was... I did a couple of little things here and there that were just kind of creative, off the beaten path.
Yeah.
A couple of things, let's see, I'm trying to remember, with an Italian actors group. We did some scene readings. I did some student film work.
It must be, Anna, going through that for about a year, it must be really hard to keep a level of confidence and to mm-hmm. fight off what must be incredibly frustrating.
Yes. Yeah. It was rough at times, and I took breaks at times.
Yeah.
I still continued the voice lessons. I began working as a personal trainer. I didn't want to wait tables.
Sure.
I said, okay, training, I can.
Did you have any experience with personal training? Why?
No, but with my dance background.
Of course. You're in shape.
It was.
Right.
Yeah, it seemed like a good move to make.
Whew.
Yeah.
When did your husband eventually decide to, you guys stay in Hoboken, or did you say, let's get the hell out of here and come to Chicago?
No, we were there for 6 years, and he actually quit working in Greenville and went back to school at Stevens in Hoboken for another master's to do with architecture and engineering. So by that time, I opened my own training studio.
In Hoboken?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I did that probably for a little over a year, and then he had a job offer here in Chicago. And that's
as an architect.
Yes.
And then you guys said, what year was that?
Oh, gosh. Was it 2007, I believe? 2006?
Okay. 6 or 7.
Yeah.
All right. We got you in Chicago, and you can't.
Yes.
Had you had kids?
No, not yet.
Okay. She has no kids. She and her husband are moving. You got a job offer in Chicago. You're going to come to Chicago, which is a pretty good theater town.
Yeah.
But you're also a personal trainer. Mm-hmm. We will carry on, but I need to hear you sing. Aubrey, could we hear this nice young lady, Anna Bessarude, sing The Look of Love, please?
The look of love is in your eyes. The look your smile can't disguise. The look of love is saying so much more than just words could ever say. And what my heart has heard, well, it takes my breath away. I can hardly wait to hold you. Feel my arms around you. How long I have waited. Waited just to love you. Now that I have found you. You've got the look. The look. The look of love. It's on your face. A look that time can't erase. Be mine tonight. Let this be just the start of so many nights like this. Let's take a lover's vow and then seal it with a kiss. I can hardly wait to hold you, feel my arms around you. How long I have waited, waited just to love you. Now that I have found you, don't ever go. Feel my arms around you. How long I have waited, waited just to love you. Now that I have found you, don't ever go. Don't ever go. I love you so.
Wow, that's Anna Bessarude, formerly one of the orphans in Annie, but obviously grown far beyond that. That was lovely.
Thank you.
That was lovely. You bring a real sense of urgency to that song that I caught there. Becky Menzie playing the piano,
yes.
and Becky Menzie arranging that thing.
Yes, and Erwin Berkowitz was on percussion.
It's a lovely, lovely, lovely piece of work. You're going to hear a couple more songs before this hour is over, and we're going to get her up to the point where she walked in the studio. She is now moved to Chicago with her husband, who's an architect. She is a personal trainer. Mm-hmm. Where did you move to in Chicago? Where did you settle?
Actually, we could see the Tribune from our window at 440 North Wabash.
Oh, my God.
We're no longer
that.
There.
Yeah, I know
but,
that building well.
But, yeah.
What did you think about coming to Chicago? You obviously knew its reputation as a theater town.
Yes. Well, I actually, I was excited about it. I've been visited before.
Sure.
And also, my grandmother, she was a singer, and I think she was here in the 30s.
Oh, wow.
And she was a jazz singer. So it's really kind of cool.
Yeah, there's some serendipity in that, certainly. I mean, you're walking the same streets your grandmother walked, and your grandmother was a jazz singer in Chicago in the 30s. What was her name?
Jean Mastriani. So
that's a good jazz singer's name. That's a very good jazz singer's name. Then, you were playing Saturday and Sunday. You played Davenport's before.
Yes. This will be my third show there.
See, that's impressive,
too.
That's a great place.
I love Davenport's. Yeah,
and Becky is going to accompany you, and it does not get better than that.
It does not.
We will take a break. You'll get some news, and then we'll talk to Anna Besserud about, she had two kids. She has two kids. She had them in Chicago, and how you sort of, and you balance the life of your professional training with your husband's life as an architect and your children's lives as kids.
Yes.
Are they boys or girls?
Two boys.
Two boys. Okay, you don't have to deal with that. Mom, I want to be Annie.
Yeah.
You may have to. Who knows? We got to take a little quick break, and then you'll get some news, and then we'll carry on with Anna Besserud until 11 o'clock, and she can go home and see her kids. Welcome back. We have another half hour with the lovely and talented Anna Besserud. She is back. Her husband got a job offer here. She's living at 444 North Wabash. What about your personal... what do you do first when you get back here? I mean, obviously, you want to help your husband get settled, and it's his job that brought you here, but you do know a bit about the Chicago theater scene, so...
Well,
How do you dip your toe in the Chicago waters?
Well, I decided to take some time off from personal training, and I don't know where I got this idea, but I said, how do I find an agent? How do I immerse myself in the Chicago scene? I decided to apply for an internship at a casting agency.
Did you really? Mm-hmm. That's actually a really good, smart idea.
And so I worked with O'Connor Casting, and it was really an eye-opening experience. It was great to be on the other side of the table.
Yeah, I'll bet. Eye-opening in that it was, enlightening, but
The rejection that you get when you go to an audition, and, you know, there were times they would say, okay, for this project, we may have already cast this role, so just, you know, let's just see everybody, get them in and out, you know. Or, you know, they're too tall, or they have blonde hair. It was good for me as an actor and singer to hear those things, because then I was more inclined to think, well, maybe it's not me.
It's not you, exactly.
I am not what they're looking for, which is okay.
Yeah.
But I learned a lot.
Sounds like it was a healthy experience.
It was a great experience, and they were wonderful to work with. I also worked with PR Casting. I decided to do another internship at another casting agency, and I got an agent, and it was so much easier than New York and so much more friendly. I feel like the community here is a lot more supportive and welcoming and friendly.
And actually nurturing, too.
Yeah, nurturing. People want to see people do well. And it's refreshing.
When did you meet? So did you go on auditions? I mean, when you got an agent, were you going out on auditions?
Yes, mostly just commercial work. I really didn't do a lot of.
You obviously, you told me that you came here in 07 and your kids are 7. You and your husband started thinking about having a family.
Yes.
Yes.
So shortly after I became pregnant with our first, and. So I was kind of auditioning through that, and then I wasn't really back into singing yet. I was doing it, dabbling in it, but then once I had baby number one, it just kind of ceased to exist for me.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of lost myself for a little bit.
Having a child is pretty all-consuming.
It consumes
all of your, not only of your time, but all of your energy and affection and love and other elements that you might have put into song.
Yes, yes, exactly.
So you had a little boy.
So I had a boy, Beck. Yeah, he's great. I don't know if they're listening. It's a little past their bedtime right now.
Well, Beck, you got a cool mom. I'll tell you that right now. Aubrey, if we could hear, let's hear it. I think it's time for another song. She's back. She's not performing anywhere. She has had a little boy named Beck. And where are you living then? Where did you move then? Don't tell me an address.
Yeah. But no, we're still downtown.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to get her. Yeah, we have time. But let's hear, I'd love to hear you sing Son of a Preacher
Man. All right, let's do it.
Aubrey, could we do that one? Aubrey's all over this. Aubrey, Mom Power is the great engineer back here.
Billy Ray was a preacher's son, and when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they'd gather around and started talking, Cousin Billy would take me walking. Through the backyard we'd go walking, and then he'd look into my eyes. Lord knows, to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. Yes, he was. Being good isn't always easy, no matter how hard I try. When he started sweet talking to me, he'd come and tell me everything is all right. He'd kiss and tell me everything is all right. Can't get away again tonight. The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. To make time, telling me that he's all mine, learning from each other's knowing, looking to see how much we've grown. The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was.
Lovely, lovely.
Thank you.
This is the sound of two hands clapping for Anna Besserud, who will be performing Saturday and Sunday at Davenport on, I should know the address, 1350-ish.
1383 North Milwaukee.
Close, 13. I knew it was something. Go to davenportspianobar.com, or Anna has a beautiful website of her own, ANNABESSERUD.com. So, your boy is born.
Mm-hmm.
You pull away from music. When is it you come back to music? And when does sort of transition from theater to cabaret fully take place?
Well, I had Luca almost three years after Beck. And probably when Luca turned about one, I said, you know, I really need to start singing again. I don't know.
Had you given up personal training too?
No, I was doing personal training part time.
Gotcha.
And I started looking online for open mics.
Is that right?
I found Monday Night Live at Petorino's.
Monday Night at Petorino's, which is going into its ninth year.
Yeah.
Denise McGowan Tracy, mm-hmm. who helped found that thing with the aforementioned Becky Menzie, will be in here in a couple weeks, maybe even next week.
Yeah.
Who knows? You found Monday Night at Petorino's.
I found them. And
which is it's open to the public. You can go have dinner and listen to
it. It's a great night out.
It's an amazing night out, mm-hmm. frankly. You have Becky and Denise there.
It doesn't get any better than that.
So did you go there with any trepidation?
I was so nervous. My first time back singing, I sang I Love a Piano. and
I'm
found.
I'm really surprised you didn't sing The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow.
I should have. But I found Becky Menzi, and she really,
Well, we're talking about the word nurturing about 5 minutes.
She is so nurturing, and she helped me discover that I am enough and to believe in myself.
Wow.
And
it couldn't have happened just in one night there.
I started going, I sang, and then I started taking lessons with her. And the first coaching I had with her, she said, "Well, Anna, what do you want to do?" I said, "Becky, I just want to sing."
Wow.
That was it. So, I mean, for a couple of months, maybe even a year, I just did lessons with her. And finally she said to me, "Hey, I think you need to do a cabaret."
Is that right?
And I said, "Okay."
Did you, Anna, in working with...
About a quarter of a mile.
...with Becky... renew your confidence?
Yeah. I think I found more confidence and just, it's kind of weird because I started singing, and after my first show was a lot of fun.
Where was your first?
My first cabaret. It was at Davenport's.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of fun, and then I sang this one song, which I did bring, Glitter in the Air, Pink.
Aubrey, if you can find that, we don't know what cut it is. Do you know what cut it is on the CD you brought in?
I think it might be the first. Well,
we'll take a commercial break. This is the genius of Covenants of Radio Hubs. We'll take a commercial break. Anna will go back there and find this song because it's crucial to your development into the cabaret performer who will be with Becky Menzi Saturday and Sunday at Davenport's. Stay tuned. We're taking a short commercial break. Welcome back. I have only 11 minutes left with Anna Besserud. She has taken us through her entire life here to the point now where she's been working. A bold move, I must tell you, to go to the Monday. There are a lot of freaks who've gone to Monday Night at Petarino's and get up in there and sung. But there have also been a lot of grand talents who I think Becky and Denise probably take huge amount of joy and pride in. Mm-hmm. Because you're like a discovery to them. You were brave enough. I'm sure of it. You were brave enough. She's collaborating with you. Mm-hmm. Brave enough to go up there and working with her for a year. You were sort of emboldened enough to say, okay, yeah, I may be like my grandmother in the 30s, a cabaret singer here.
Yeah.
Had you gone and explored any kind of cabaret? I mean, you're busy. Your mom with two little kids and a busy husband.
Yeah. I saw a couple of shows, and I had an idea of what it was. Putting a show together is each time a learning experience. It's great.
Yeah. It must be a lot of creative fun because
it is.
Especially with someone like Becky who knows your voice.
Yeah.
And might suggest, I think, this song would be great for you.
Yeah.
And you may, well, I like this song.
Mm-hmm. And we try music on. So,
oh, good.
You know,
great.
And she's so great. It's like, okay, well, let's try this key. This key. I mean, she's just.
The show is called, Anna, Powerful.
Powerful Women. Yeah.
Which means the singers, the songwriters, the.
I'm talking about a couple of different women. I'll touch on a little bit of Tina Turner, Barbara Streisand, little Sarah Jessica Parker. But it's just, talking about whether or not is vulnerability, can that be powerful?
Huh.
Is that
interesting?
Showing a sense of power, or can you find power through vulnerability?
Sure. Do you want to hear some of that? What was the song?
Glitter in the Air. This is the song where I found I was singing more ingenue, soprano-y type stuff. This song, kind of, I found a new voice.
Really? And Becky introduced you to this song? Or how did you find it?
Yes.
She did?
Yes.
All right. This is Aubrey Mumpower. We'll play it, and you can listen to it, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
trusted, just trusted. Have you ever thrown a handful of glitter in the air? Have you ever looked fear in the face and said, I just don't care? It's only half past the point of no return, the tip of the iceberg, the sun before the burn, the thunder before the lightning, and the breath before the freeze. Have you ever felt this way?
Great. First of all, it's a great song.
Thanks.
Second of all, it's a great, great, great singing on that song.
Thank you.
And that's something that Becky suggested, and you mm-hmm. did it, and you thought, okay, I've this is the next step in my career and my life.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I've, you know, from there started looking at new kind of music that I hadn't sung before, like Son of a Preacher Man. Oh, my goodness. I love singing that song. But I was like, really? I can do that? Okay.
That's great. What a nice revelation. You're still so young. I mean, you still, and you're able to balance your personal mm-hmm. training at the East Bank with the two kids, four and seven. Your
yeah.
husband, who's a working architect. Mm-hmm. What does he think of this?
Well, he's...
He may be listening, yeah.
I don't know. he's supportive, and, you know, there are many nights where he watches the boys so that I can go sing. I can go to an open mic or if I have a rehearsal. So it's,
Well, but it's also good for the boys to have a mother who is happy.
Yes.
And satisfied and of whom they can be proud. It'll be a great and special night when those two boys can come see you at some nightclub, won't it?
I know. It'll be quite a few years.
You're moving now. It's just one step at a time, right? I mean, there's no big dream here. There's no...
I want to keep performing and I don't know, wherever the road takes me, I'm open to it. Yeah.
Well, you have been a delight to have on this radio show, I must tell you.
Thank you.
Don't be silly. Don't be silly. I mean, and, you know, there's beyond credibility performing at Davenport's and performing with Becky Menzie. And just for you people who have heard Anna Bessarud sing, you know that she's the real deal, and we will see where her career takes her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think it's going to take her back to New York very time soon until the boys are older. And then who knows? But Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, she will be at Davenport's. You can go to davenportspianobar.com or to her own website, which is a very nice website, annabessarud.com. She told us her entire life story tonight, and it's a fascinating life story. And this chapter, I think, it's such a great joy to have little kids, too.
Yes,
but
it
also
is.
to be self-fulfilled, too. And I think Becky Menzie and Denise and Monday Night at Pettorino's, which is moving into its ninth year, like a launching pad for careers. So knock 'em dead.
Thank you.
Have a great show. I hope
the
place is packed. And Davenport's is a great place.
It is.
Davenport's is just a lovely place. I would like to thank you for listening. I'd like to thank producer. Elif was gone, and Lisa Graham was here, and now she's gone, too. But it is such a comfort and joy for me to have Aubrey Mumpower back here at the controls. Laura Miles was doing the news because Roger Badish is not around. And you people, listen, again, davenportspianobar.com. And annabessarud.com. I will see you all next week. Have a nice day off tomorrow because that's what people do. I will not have a nice day off. But,
me neither.
You know, there are a lot of people who work. I'm sure Aubrey's working, and no question he's working. That's, as we sign off, that's Anna's voice. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.